The history of African Americans in Oregon has a few blemishes, fewer perhaps than in some of the former slave states, but early Oregon passed exclusion laws keeping black people out of the state. Didn't work. African Americans did settle in Oregon and make lives for themselves and their communities, and now the state and some partners are embarking on a project to take note of that history. The project is called Preserving Oregon's African American Historic Places. Partners include the State Historic Preservation Office and the Oregon Black Pioneers. From the State Historic Preservation Office, we welcome Curry Gill, who's the Grants and Outreach Coordinator. Curry, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. We also have from the Oregon Black Pioneers the project manager, Kim Moreland. Kimberly Moreland, welcome to the exchange.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
With exclusion laws and such, and I want to start this with Kim Moreland. I mean, there is much African American history in Oregon, if perhaps it's a somewhat tortured history.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
If you could just sort of give us a broad sketch of African American history in Oregon and the fact that it certainly had some interesting moments along the way.
Oh, sure. Oregon was probably the only state that entered the Union with the clause in the Constitution that excluded African Americans, and at the time they called them Chinamen and Hawaiians, and that exclusion law did kind of play out in terms of limiting the number of minorities, particularly African Americans in Oregon. And if you were to look at like maybe the 1860 census, you would show that California had more African Americans than Oregon at the time, and so. But that, as you mentioned earlier, it didn't deter settlement of African Americans because they came as explorers to the area, seeking, you know, opportunities in mining, and also came with their former slave owners, and some of them entered the Oregon Territory not even knowing that slavery was abolished in Oregon, and so the slave master kind of probably hid them, and if they were discovered, there was laws on the book that they had to leave at a certain time, or they would suffer with lashes. And but somehow, you managed to have a small group of African Americans that was settled in the Oregon, early in the Oregon Territory, and eventually, when it became a state, you had a pretty, you know, sizable settlement of African Americans. It's a pretty interesting history, and ironically, some of those African Americans became landowners, owned homes, raised their families, and Oregon has a very unique history as compared to those in the East Coast, where you had the slave trade and the Underground Railroad. But I love Oregon's history, black history, because it's so different.
Curry Gill, how well documented would you say that history is up to this point from your perspective at the State Historic Preservation Office?
Well, certainly for historic sites, not very well documented. There are lots of geographic places that refer to African Americans in not so nice ways, and also just by their names. But as far as actual documented historic places, when we started this project, we looked in our database and found only two where the history was specifically called out as related to African American history. Now they're there. Some are there in our database, but we didn't know until this process began that it was associated with African American history. So that's an additional piece that we're getting from this. Oregon Black Pioneers and lots of individual historians have been doing research, especially over the last 10 years, to get a lot of the personal information of the people that came here and collecting their stories and their photos and things, but less work has been done on the places that remain that have that history tied to it.
Did I hear you right? There were just two places identified in the database thus far that are places that are significant in Oregon African American history?
Exactly right.
Wow. Is that the Amazing Grace Fellowship in LeGrand and the Gorman House in Corvallis?
Well, actually, the Gorman House was not called out specifically in the database for it, so we have now changed that. And the the one in La Grande was not in the database at all. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Hello, Jeff, if I could add to that. There was a project called Cornerstone of Community that was sponsored by CHPO and administered by the Architectural Heritage Center that identified several historic sites related to African Americans in Portland. And what I forgot to mention was that African Americans were scattered throughout the Oregon, state of Oregon, until about 1883 when the railroad was completed. And that a lot of the African Americans started to migrate to Portland, and also others came to work on the railroad or work at a hotel, the Portland Hotel, that kind of supported the railroad workers and industry at that time. And so you have this large population of African Americans at the turn of the century that lived, settled in Portland. And Kathy Gabbert of the Architectural Heritage Center the late 90s did a project that identified several historic sites related to African Americans in Portland. And what's unique about this project is that we're able to identify those that came across the Oregon Trail and settled in what became this, you know, the state of Oregon. And so we're going outside of the Portland area and trying to identify sites in eastern Oregon, central Oregon, and Covalent, so in the Mid-Willamette Valley. But there has been, that's been a really significant effort to identify historic sites, and we're actually going to be building on that project as part of this process.
We were talking about Preserving Oregon's African-American Historic Places, a project of SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, and the Oregon Black Pioneers and other groups and historians. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about this at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Kim Moreland at the Oregon Black Pioneers, just a second ago, you mentioned several parts of the state where you're trying to expand outside the Portland area to look at African-American history. I didn't hear Southern Oregon on that list.
Oh, yeah, Southern Oregon, too.
Okay. The reason I was thought it might have been left off is because Southern Oregon's history with African Americans seems even more tortured, since there was apparently more Klan activity down in Southern Oregon, for example.
That's true. But, you know, I'm so surprised, though, despite some of those, you know, racially hostile and anti-Black sentiments that were, you know, expressed during that time, especially in Southern Oregon, you find families that have lived there. They manage to build a life there and have a community with their neighbors and was well respected. It's really interesting how, you know, these families, very few in numbers, were able to survive and be a really prominent part of that community.
Yeah, I was rather surprised when we were looking for a picture to attach on our website to the discussion of this this issue that we ran across the picture at the Oregon Black Pioneers, your website, about the Richard Bogle family, and didn't realize that Richard had once been a barber in Roseburg.
Yes, and they started as one of the founders of Oregon. You can correct me, in Waddle Hill, Daniel Waddle, America came to Oregon with, they say, either him or his brother as a former slave, but it also could have been one of their daughters. And she eventually married a Bogo, a guy from Jamaica. And because of the hostility, though, in Oregon, they settled in Walla Walla, and they end up owning a savings and loans with the founder of the Walla Walla Savings and Loans, and had a ranch. And then eventually their children migrated back to Portland, and one of their sons became a prominent barber at the Golden West Hotel, which is a hotel that's still standing on 7th and Broadway in Portland. And that is going to be, you know, one of our sites that would be part of our database, and was owned by an African-American who opened up the Golden West in, like, 1905, and they served all the porters and different railroad workers who couldn't find lodging in Portland at the turn of, you know, the early turn of the century. So So the Golden West Hotel was really a significant place for African Americans, and the BOGOs. I mean, it had tremendous history in Portland, as from starting at the barber shop, and then eventually just one of their descendants, Dick BOGO, became a police officer, a commissioner, a newscaster, and his mother, Catherine BOGO, was just as significant. She was a writer, one of the first black writers for the Oregonian, and she wrote a lot about black life in Oregon in the 20s and 30s and 40s. So, I mean, the BOGOs were significant, and it all started when they came across the Oregon Trail. And so, one thing, I have four children, and they never been taught about blacks in the Oregon Trail. I mean, there's a significant curriculum for the Oregon Trail, but there's not a lot of information about African Americans that came across the Oregon Trail. And so I think this project is going to be amazing in terms of just highlighting those historic sites as well as sharing some of those stories about African Americans besides York. And a lot of people know about York and his part of the expedition with Lewis and Clark, but they don't know about other African American who eventually came, was part of, you know, came across the Oregon Trail and was part of Oregon's history.
So, Curry Gill at SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, what's the general goal of the project then, preserving Oregon's African-American historic places? I guess the name pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
Right. So, well, the first step of preservation always in our approach is to document the places. So we are taking a super broad-based approach. We're asking everybody out there in Oregon who has any idea of any places associated with black history to submit that to us. So we have online submission for it, or there's a printable form as well. So if people want to go write it down and send it in, they can. So that's the first big step, is the documentation and getting that information. Once people submit information to us, we have a great committee of volunteers through Oregon Black Pioneers who are going to develop it further and get more information. All of that, hopefully, will lead to a big National Register nomination of multiple properties throughout the state, so that those properties with property owners who are interested in having them listed on the National Register will get listed on the National Register, and it will set it up so future ones can be added more easily.
As late in the game as we are, we're trying to talk about Oregon history here, but in a current context and identify historic sites. I mean, I have to believe that a fair number of places would not be in the condition in which they were used by African Americans in Oregon history. So, for example, you might be able to say, well, on this property, this happened. But, of course, this is the third house since that time.
Right. So in some cases, it won't be eligible for the National Register, but the information about those sites being used in certain ways will inform us about maybe other locations that were used in the same way. So it will inform lots of other things. So we're hoping to get about 5 listed on the first round, but all of the information we gather is going to be put to good use both by the State Historic Preservation Office and Oregon Black Pioneers. And if there's other stories out there that aren't tied to a place, please send those to the Oregon Black Pioneers, too, because they're collecting that information as well.
All right. So it's not just about physical sites, but also stories themselves that may not have been recorded or at least well-known
right
at this point.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Let me invite our listeners to join us once again. We're talking to Curry Gill at the State Historic Preservation Office and Kim Moreland at the Oregon Black Pioneers about this project of preserving Oregon's African-American historic places. You might have questions or comments about events in Oregon African-American history and maybe even some things to share with us right here. 800-838-3760 around the listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. I know, Curry, I already mentioned the Amazing Grace Fellowship in LeGrand and the Gorman House in Corvallis. I don't want to leave those hanging. Can you give a brief description of what happened at those places?
Well, actually, I don't know much about the fellowship in Le Grand. We just, that was the first submission we got in this process. So we're in the process with the committee to start digging in and getting a little bit more information there. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'll let Kim talk about the Gorman House because she just had a nice visit there and has worked closely with people doing research on that property.
The Gorman House was occupied by a mother and daughter that came across the Oregon Trail with the Thorpe family. And eventually, one of the founders of Corvallis, two of them, but one of them submitted or sold the mother, with a Hannah, land to, and they two structures was built on that site. One is a pretty modest house, a one-story house, and then in that was built in 1855, and then later there was an expansion in 1866, I'm sorry, that looked more like a A-frame house. And I had opportunity to meet with the Brenners, Patricia Brenner and her husband, Tom, and they bought the house so that it wouldn't be demolished. It was being considered as a fire burn structure.
A burn to learn sort of thing?
Yes.
Oh,
right,
boy.
For the fire department, and they bought it so that it wouldn't be demolished and destroyed. And so the house is in much needed repair. It has an original fireplace that was made out of handmade bricks with mud mortar, which is very unique to any early settlement property in Oregon. It has some of the original siding. It's just an amazing structure with an amazing history. And the mom and daughter is very well respected in the community. There's several writings where they appear as being industrious and well-loved. The obituary for the daughter, Eliza, is very insightful because it talks about the community love for the mother and the daughter. And how well-respected they were.
Let us take a call here. We have Jim and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Kim Moreland and Curry Gill about preserving bits of African-American history in Oregon. Hi, Jim.
Yes, one of the problems with it, historical things, they concentrate so much on what is still standing or people remember. Same thing, floods, Ohio River, Evansville, Vanport floods, Portland 1948 and such, it's wiped out huge amounts of what was called unstable population. Of course, those buildings were not insured. They did not have any political, i.e. economic, roots.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where the true African-American history usually is in these areas that were through fire, flood, whatever, totally wiped out, and then just ignored.
Interesting point. Thanks for that, Jim. So,
yeah.
So Curry, that is an interesting point. So what happens if you've got these great stories that there really are no physical sites to represent them anymore?
Well, again, that's when they get shuttled less from the State Historic Preservation Office because we're about sites and places.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be a site associated with an event, even if the structures are no longer there. So, for example, you have the site down in Southern Oregon associated with the balloon bombing. That's listed on the National Register. There's no structure associated with that.
Right, near Bly, Oregon.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it can be that. But what we're finding is, yes, it's true, a lot of the places are lost, but a lot of them also have not been changed due to their history, and they may not be in great condition at this point, but they are still standing, and we just don't know the associations. So we have the Cox House in Brownsville is one example where it's not in the best condition. It's never been the high-end end of town where people had wealth and power, which is part of why it was never altered very much. So I think that we're going to be pleasantly surprised to find a lot still standing. For those places that aren't, where we know there's whole communities that were there and lost, there is a really good opportunity to use historical archaeology to tell a story that was largely ignored in the written history here. There's also the opportunity to use oral history and things like that to put the pieces together. So there may not ever be a monument in that spot, but by doing the outreach we're doing to gather the information, we're also building relationships with the local historical societies and other places that are talking about this local history so that it can at least be a part of their story in museums and, you know, on the driving tours and all of those things that are happening.
And how much longer will the process go on?
So this is running through December. We're going to send updates as we get new stories and new inspirational places listed. We're going to let people know and keep encouraging people to submit any information they have at all. And we mean any information. Just send us what you have, even if it's a little tidbit, and we will use that to dig in farther. And I will tell you that I've watched Oregon Black Pioneers do this work over the last 10 years or so, and it has been amazing what they have garnered from just a tiny bit.
All right. We provide the links on our website and on our Facebook page as well to make sure that people can take part in this process. And don't be bashful, I think, is the message I'm getting from Curry Gill. Curry Gill is the Grants and Outreach Coordinator at the State Historic Preservation Office in Oregon. Kim Moreland is the Project Manager at Oregon Black Pioneers. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
You bet. We will take a short break and come back with today's edition of the Writer's Almanac here on the Jefferson Exchange.